chapter 7. Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunantu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvi navatitamastu ma vidyushavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. One verse three. So, good afternoon. Maya bhasena jivesho, Maya bhasena jivesho, karoti ti shrutatvataha, karoti ti shrutatvataha, kalpitaveva jivesho, kalpitaveva jivesho, tabhyam sarvam prakalpitam, tabhyam sarvam prakalpitam. Next verse. Ikshanadi praveshantha, Ikshanadi praveshantha, Shrishti shena kalpita, Shrishti shena kalpita, Jagradadi vimokshantaha, Jagradadi vimokshantaha, Samsaro jiva kalpitaha, Samsaro jiva kalpitaha. We've done three, but I'll be referring back to it. So let's look at the Sandhi for four. Ikshana, Adi, Pravesha, Anta. Shrishtihi, Ishena, Kalpita. Jagrat, Adi, Vimoksha, Antaha. Samsaraha jiva kalpitaha. In verse 3, the first 3 says there's the Shruti statement, Shrutatvataha. That means Shrutatvataha means from the Shruti. Maya creates the jiva and Ishwara through abhasa, through the reflection of consciousness, chirabhasa. Abhasa here means chirabhasa. So Maya creates karoti, Maya karoti, Maya creates the jiva and Ishwara through the chirabhasa, through the reflection of consciousness. Kalpitau eva jivesha. Thus, the jiva and Ishwara are kalpita. They are both created. They are both created by Maya. Ta byam, by them, everything else is created. Right? So, we just briefly, review. The reality is Brahman, one without a second. Nothing else. Only Sat Chit Ananda. The Sat which is Chit, which is limitless. That is the one without a second. That one without a second is pure conscious being. That conscious being, with the help of Maya, which is no way to really translate it. It's very difficult to translate this word Maya. You can say apparent creative capacity, apparent creative material. Nothing works. Nothing works for it. So if we just think of Maya as being that which is responsible, that apparent mithya material, that mithya material, that material that has no being of its own, that totally depends upon the self, upon Brahman, for its being, for its consciousness, for all that it is, for its the totality of its substance. To the same degree, if we have two drishtantas that we use to show this type of dependent relationship, one way is trying to understand the relationship between a pot and clay, where the pot is there and it's functional, but it has no being apart from its content, its substance, which is clay. Of its own accord, it's not there. We can even, to the degree that we can even say there's only clay. But then there's this pot. But really, there's only clay. So in that way, Maya is totally dependent on this creation, for it, on Brahman, on the self, for its being, for its substance, for consciousness existence. It is the very, the one without a second Brahman is its self. It is the self of Maya. It is the truth of Maya. Another drishtanta illustration they use is rope snake. These two, clay pot, rope snake, are kind of bread and butter for us. We have to always keep those in mind. There's a slight difference with the snake projected on the rope. In that illustration, you can see so clearly that the rope undergoes no modification whatsoever to become the snake. But still, it's the very substance, the very truth of the snake. If you remove the rope, like if you remove the clay, no snake, no pot. Right? So that's what we mean by mitya. So if we term something to be mitya, that means it has absolutely zero existence or being without the adhishtana. I'm interested. I'm going to be really spending some time with these terms now because Vidyaranya does. And Swamiji used to spend a lot more time with these terms, adhishtana, right? And so this term adhishtana than he really does now. But adhishtana, what the adhishtana is that which is the reality. It's the whatever is the reality, which is the self of the projection. Like the rope is the reality of the snake, right? If I were to use adhishtana for a clay pot or wave ocean, we don't really always use it that way, but if I were to, we would say the adhishtana of the pot is the clay, because that's what's actually there allowing for the mitya to be. What is mitya to be? That's what mitya means. It can't be, it's not real, it's not unreal, it depends on something else for it to be. So the pot depends on the clay for it to be. The snake depends on the rope for it to be. So the snake is mitya, the rope is the adhishtana, right, of that mitya snake. It's the actual reality, the actual thing that is there that allows for this apparent creation snake, right, or the dependent form pot. So that's how we use this adhishtana. So now, so if we say Maya creates Ishwara, the Ishwara and Jiva. Ishwara is the Lord or God. What not the Christian God, not the Jewish God, not the Muslim God. It's the Vedanta God. Okay, the Upanishad. That's important. Okay, so we have to always know what we mean by this word God. But if we say Brahman, which is the reality. Reality means that which is not subject to change. It's the definition of reality is that which cannot be negated in past, present, or future. That means the being that is true is, period. It never not is. Never in the past, never in the future, never not is. And that reality is one without a second. One without a second, when we say that, that means it is the very being, the very substance of everything that you experience within duality. It is the being and the substance of Maya, or this Maya projection, this Maya creation. Because in this Maya, in this creation, Maya is responsible for the projection of all the entire creation of names and forms. Right? This, what we call Maya, whose reality is mitya, means Maya has no being apart from that one without a second. That Maya is responsible for the creation of this mitya jagat, mitya world. When we say that, what does it mean? It means that everything here that you're experiencing, the subject and the object, are all only one thing. One sat-chit ananda. What it means then is that the amnes, the being, your experience of amnes, right? Because one without a second, so it's fine just to stick with your own experience from the standpoint of the jiva. Your experience of amnes, of existence, is the experience. Is the self-evident experience. Your experience of consciousness, not the different objects of consciousness, but consciousness conscious being, that is Brahman. The conscious being that you are is Brahman, and is therefore the conscious being which everything is. So this Maya is a material whose order of reality is mithya. Means it has no being apart from the Sat-Chit, the conscious being that I am, that is my truth also, and your truth, and the truth of the road. This Maya projects the entire universe as manifest knowledge. So that's what term Swamiji will use, manifest knowledge. Why uses the term manifest knowledge? If you could think of Brahman, which is the one without a second, Sat-Chit, which is the very being of yourself and myself, that this Sat-Chit with Maya, the Maya manifests, the entire creation, what is that experience? How would we talk about the experience of conscious being with Maya, totally dependent on it for its reality, for Maya's reality, totally dependent, like the clay pot or the rope snake, right? Totally dependent. When that Maya manifests as the entire creation, what is that? Now we have Brahman plus this manifest creation. What words can we use to describe what that would be like? So Swamiji came up with this, words which to me is so profound. Manifest knowledge. Maya, as the infinite projection of the creation, is manifest knowledge. Why would he say that? And this Vidyaranya is saying it in a different way. Because the experience of manifest knowledge is, if you look at your own experience, if I ask you to think of, a meadow, or your home, or whatever, think of a meadow, you are going to be drawing from the avyakta, from the unmanifest condition in yourself, you're going to be drawing on that to project a meadow which is in its entirety known to you when that projection manifests. So manifest knowledge means that which is known. So if we look at one without a second, the actual basis, the adhishtanam, the base, what actually is. So Sat-Chit is what actually is. That's the unchanging reality, that which can never be touched or negated. That's what actually is. When Maya is a beginningless apparent material that has depends for its existence on awareness, when it projects, as the Shruti tells us, it projects, creates. That creation is what? Manifest knowledge. So now imagine the entire infinite creation as manifest knowledge. Awareness as the adhishtana, the Sat-Chit as the adhishtana, as the very being, and Maya as manifest knowledge. What it means now is that the adhishtana, the awareness, remains as is, but the Maya, which is projected into this infinite form as manifest knowledge, is totally known. Right? From its own standpoint, it's totally known. Just like your mind, you project a meadow, or you project the sky, or you project, I was going to project a universe. Whatever you project, whatever goes on in the mind, it's sattva. I went to the sattva, rajas, and tamas a little last week. It is totally known. So like that, this creation is totally known. Because it is totally known, it is an infinite being. That's why we call it Ishvara. We don't just say the Jagat. We say this is Ishvara, because it is totally known, right? It is manifest knowledge, and what is itself is Brahman. What is yourself? Brahman. So what is the difference? So here he says, Maya creates the Ishvara, Isha means Ishvara, and Jiva. Right? Because from the total manifest knowledge, the one identified with total manifest knowledge, not with any of the parts, that is Ishvara. Right? But included in the manifest knowledge are all of the Jivas. Those jivas also that are made of the physical body and the subtle body and the causal body, which is the Maya itself, right? those jivas have a mind in the subtle body, a mind, a sukshma sharira that reflects consciousness, that is identified with the physical body, with actually the rajas and tamas. It's identified with the physical body. From the standpoint of the physical body, you are with a mind that's identified with a physical body, which is part of the total manifest knowledge, which is Ishvara, right? The jivas are all part of Ishvara. From the standpoint of the jiva, there is limited knowledge. Everything there is still manifest knowledge, because there's nothing that isn't manifest knowledge. What falls outside of the scope of manifest knowledge? Nothing, right? But everything within the creation is manifest knowledge, as well as the whole creation, because the part to the whole. Okay, but from your standpoint, because the body, mind, sense organs of the jiva are limited, the experience of the jiva will be limited. Not the experience of satchit. The experience of satchit is one and the same. It doesn't involve size. And the size and dimension come with the creation, space, air, fire, water, earth. You know, space and time, that all comes with the creation. So dimension comes with the creation. Not from the standpoint of your being, there's no dimension. There's one without a second. It's just the pure being that you are. That being doesn't have anything to do with size, so that is the totality. The totality of such shit is you. There's not more to it. You know, like we can think, if I hold a mirror up, some people get confused here. If you hold a mirror up to the sky, right, that mirror is only reflecting a little piece of the sky, isn't it? I hold a mirror up to the sky. It's just a little piece of the sky. So you can get mistaken that way. You can think, well, if I am Brahman, which is infinite, one without a second, but this mind is limited, so like holding up this limited mind is reflecting chidabhasa, reflecting consciousness, which is why Swamiji doesn't like to use this word, reflecting consciousness, like the mirror in the reflecting the sky, it's only getting a little piece of consciousness. But no, this is the critical to understand. The conscious being that you are is not an object in the creation. There's nothing to space comes from it. Time comes from it. Objects come from it. The whole creation comes from it. So that conscious being that you are is totally who you are. It's not that you're just a part of it. So at this conscious being, when the manifest knowledge comes, the manifest knowledge taken as a whole is what we call Ishvara. All of the subtle bodies within Ishvara, all of the jivas within Ishvara that only reflect, only enjoy using the sense organs, limited knowledge, right? Those are called jivas, right? This body, mind, sense organs, it's called a jiva. Because the subtle body that totally enjoys the awareness, which is the truth of all everything, that subtle body, it's identified with this physical body. And so taking the awareness, which is its very self, to be the subtle body in the physical body, it becomes limited. That's what happens. So the jiva creates Ishvara and the jiva through the reflection of consciousness from the standpoint of the upadhi. If the whole manifest knowledge, from the standpoint of the whole manifest knowledge, you have Ishvara, there's one whole being. From the standpoint of the limited subtle bodies within that totality, there is what we call jiva, because of the reflection of consciousness in the sukshma sharira, which is made of sattva, that reflecting element. And so here he says, in this very, very tersely, maya projects the jiva and Ishvara because of the abhasa, by the reflection of consciousness. If there was no reflection of consciousness in this creation, no sattva. So this is, I'm kind of wrapping up now what we talked about last week. No reflection of consciousness in the creation. No upadhi where the mistake could be made. Right? Then we just have a Brahman abiding. We don't have any problem. There's just infinite being. Right? There's infinite being. If the creation is manifest, whatever it is, fine. From its own standpoint, it's not Ishvara or Jiva. All that is there is Satchit Ananda, which is I, which is me. But there's nothing in the creation that causes this type of a mistake. But there is something in this creation that causes a mistake. And that's where we get into this looking at the very nature of this projection. What is the nature of this creation that causes Brahman, the self, which is infinite and the very being of the whole thing, to be taken by an element in the creation as though it is a limited being subject to death? What allows for that humongous mistake? From the standpoint of Brahman, of your being, there's no mistake. Because the self doesn't talk. The self doesn't think. It doesn't say, I'm Ishvara or I'm a jiva. Right? Because consciousness is just consciousness. It's not a knower. It's not a thinker. It's just pure being. It's me. Like, think of this. This is one of the me that you are is self-effulgent. It's self-evident. It's not telling you, I am me, I'm me, I'm me. It's not saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. You know? It's not saying, think about me, think about me. See me, see me, see me. Here I am, here I am, here I am. It says nothing. It is just me. I am the one who illumines all of those crazy thoughts. Whatever the thoughts are, I am just simply there, whole and complete. Just think about it. Your sense, when you say me or I, that there is nothing steadier than that. And it is not making no running commentary. If there was, just think about it. Behind your mind, which is going thought after thought after thought after thought, there's this self that has its own running commentary. There is no running commentary. There's no motion. There's no change. There's my very still, very stable, abiding presence that makes no comment whatsoever. Once the mind recognizes, in fact, that, it revels in it, because the one that is so still and steady is me. When you say the word I or the word me, that's what it is. It's my own presence that is calm and stable and steady. But now, from the standpoint of this infinite manifest knowledge that we call Ishvara, within Ishvara, there are, you know, an infinite number of jivas as part of the total projection. Just like, again, if you have a dream, you are the Ishvara of the dream and you are the jivas within the dream. Both. Just think about it. Actually, you're just one. You're just Ishvara. But in terms of the mistake that's being made, if you have a dream, you're dreaming at night, the whole dream is your projection. You're Ishvara. Right? The whole dream is your projection and you're identified. Let's make it really clear. The whole dream is your projection. You're identified with the whole. It comes from you. It's sustained by you. It is manifest knowledge for you. And that the manifest knowledge is the dream. And so that is me. I am the very self of the dream. As Ishvara, I am the very self of the infinite creation. It is manifest knowledge and I am itself. Now going back to the dream, I have a dream, I am the very self of the dream, I'm the one identified with the total dream, and then I enter the dream. As I enter the dream as an individual, I now become a jiva. Right? So now I am both the self of the manifest knowledge, and I am a jiva in the dream. The jiva in the dream is part of the manifest knowledge, has made of the same material, and has the same self, the same conscious being. But from the standpoint of the jiva looks around in the manifest knowledge and says, I'm different from all of you. And I'm subject to change, and I'm subject to death. Because every part of the jiva that makes the jiva, the body, the mind, the sense organs, the eye thought, all of this, all of these things that make up the jiva, right, which have for their truth the self, but all of the things, components that make up the jiva are subject to change, are subject to death. And the jiva, the one who's talking, the mind that's saying, is thinking about all of this and talking, that mind has problems. That mind says, you know, who am I? What is the truth here? What is going on? It seems like I'm going to die. I can't believe I'm going to die. It's not fair. How what happens to me after death? Right? This jiva's looking around. Because sense organs and mind are all looking out. Even though the very self of the jiva is limitless. The self of the jiva, the me, this me, is the self of the total manifest knowledge. From total manifest knowledge, no problem except as being the total, I have to experience everything that's going on, but I'm not identified with any of it. It's like watching TV, right? Or watching a big movie. You see the whole thing is there, but you're not identified with any given part. But from within, the jiva, there's all kinds of points of identification. But because there's the sukshma sharira, the subtle body that reflects consciousness, because that subtle body is there, there's a jiva. Because the sattva pervades the entire creation, there's manifest knowledge, there's Ishvara. But really, when the creation, if the maya was not there at all, there would be no jiva, there would be no Ishvara. Jiva and Ishvara are just a product of maya. Without maya, there is no jiva or Ishvara, there's just Brahman, there's just pure consciousness. But maya is beginningless. So maya is part of the package. But we don't ever say that therefore there's duality. We should. I mean, after all, there's Brahman and then there's maya. We can't say there's two, though. The only reason we can't say there are two is because maya does not fit into the category of something being real, I mean, which has its own existence, which is not subject to non-existence, nor is it not there. So maya is totally dependent for its being like the snake on the rope or the pot in the clay. It's totally dependent on Brahman. So it's like saying, me and my shadow are going along. They use that in the Shastra, me and my shadow. 1, 2. We can't give it that reality. It doesn't mean that we're not here experiencing it. That's why we need Vedanta. That's what you need, a means of knowledge to get you out of this. I mean, you know? Okay, so having said that, then maya creates the jiva and Ishvara through this abhasa, through the projection, through the abhasa, the reflection of consciousness. Therefore, both jiva and Ishvara are created. That's the point, one of the points they're trying to make here. The jiva and the Ishvara are dependent on maya. For that type of jiva-ishvara bheda, that duality, you have to have maya. And once jiva and Ishvara are there, then everything else is created, like this house has been built, like these lamps has been made, and all of the projections that we do as a jiva, those are our creations. And the creation of the srishti, of the this creation is just all of a multitude of changes that go on within the creation from its own standpoint, not man-made. So now it says in the verse 4, it wants to tell you, okay, if all of this is the just jiva and Ishvara created by maya, what is created by Ishvara and what is created by the jiva? That's the akanksha. That's the next question that can come. You know, if maya creates the jiva and Ishvara, then what is it that Ishvara creates and what it is that the jiva creates once they've been created? So it says, ikshanadi pravesha anta srishtihi ishena kalpita. The srishti, srishtihi, the srishti, the creation is created. Creation means the jagat, this manifest world of all time, space. This srishti is projected, is created by Ishvara, ishena kalpita. How? Ikshanadi, first by seeing, then by entering. Okay, so what do they mean? Another reason Swamiji uses manifest knowledge. By seeing means sankalpa, means it's Ishvara's sankalpa. The creation, which is an avyakta, is an unmanifest condition, comes into being by Ishvara's seeing it. You know? So now just to imagine, what do they mean? If I ask you to create something in your mind, How are you going to create it? You've got a mind. Say we have a mind in unmanifest, because it's just there. See, the mind is there now. It's ready for your use. It's there in that seed form. And I ask you to create something. Not make something out here. Create something in your mind. How will you do it? You have to think it. You have to think it. See, if I ask you to, right now, mentally, I'll say, okay, now mentally create a beautiful meadow with a nice little house on it. How will you do it? You have to see it. Right? That's Maya. You have to see it. And so here, Ikshana Adi begins with seeing it. So Ishwara sees it. The creation comes into manifestation. When he sees it, that's manifest knowledge. What is it like if I ask you, all right, now I want you mentally to create a seashore? You have to see it. When you see it, now it is manifest knowledge. You see that? Because the seashore is known. Right? So now, first it starts with Ishwara. What does he first do? He sees it, sees the creation, and then, so Ikshanadi, Praveshanta, and it ends with entering it. Ishwara creates and then enters. How does he enter? As manifest knowledge, the whole is known. He hasn't entered. He enters in the form of the jiva. Right? Because now, every when the creation is envisioned, part of what is envisioned are all of the jivas. Right? The jivas are part and parcel of the creation. If the jiva is envisioned, the jiva has a sukshma sharira. The sukshma sharira reflects consciousness. It reflects, if I can use that word. Reflecting consciousness, now Ishwara has entered. So now the whole creation is enlivened. The whole creation is nothing but consciousness anyway. The whole thing has become manifest. And then, so it begins with the manifest knowledge, and then Ishwara enters in the form of all of the jivas. And so, now it says, so, having done that, we now have this whole manifest creation and all the enlivened jivas. Jagrat adi vimoksha antaha samsaraha jiva kalpitaha. Samsara is created by the jiva. Okay? Ishwara enters, now the jiva is there. Because reflection of consciousness is there. Now, once that reflection of consciousness is there from the standpoint of the jiva, now what does the jiva create? Samsara. Samsara. Beginning jagrat adi, beginning with the waking state, what is the life of the jiva? Waking, dream, deep sleep. Right? Those are the what's called the avastatraya. The avastha thraya sakshi, they call. Avastha is the state of experience, or thraya, or three. There are three states of experience. Waking state. Waking state means any time you are gaining knowledge or experience through your sense perception. That's the waking state. Dream state. Any time you're experiencing in the mind without the use of sense perception. So imagination, fantasy, dreams at night, daydreams, all of these type of thing, that's the dream state. Because it's a creation is taking place, but not objectively, not through the use of your sense organs. That's the dream state. Deep sleep state, when the mind is in, when all of the activities are in unmanifest condition of the mind. The mind is in avyakta. Nothing happening, not even an ahankara. So beginning with the waking state, dream, deep sleep, this is the beginning, this is life for the jiva. With this life, day after day after day, year after year after year after year, the jiva is accumulating experiences, you know, and learning from them. Where does it end? Where does the life of the jiva end? Because it'd be actually lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And beginning this time, when does it ever end? Right? Well, it ends with moksha. With liberation. So beginning with the waking state, etc., jagrat adi, moksha, vimoksha, in other words, just for moksha, vimoksha antaha. It ends with moksha, because with moksha, there is no more jiva. They might say vimoksha for videya mukti. Videya mukti means when this body drops, for jiva who's been liberated, means you recognize, you will see exactly what Vidyaranya says here about that. When you recognize the nature of yourself, where, when this body drops, where is there cause for a, where's the jiva? I'm not going to get into that right now because he goes into it deeply, okay? So jagradati vimokshanta samsaraha, this is what they call samsara. Samsara means samyak saraha, that which goes on changing, changing, changing. Everything, endlessly changing. Very, does it very, very well. Saraha means to move, to change. Samyak means perfectly. Never stops. Changing, 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 changing. So this samsaraha, that is created by the jiva. Because the jiva recognizes only that's your experience. Everything about me is subject to change. Everything about me is subject to death. But what's interesting, why are you called a jiva? Because in fact, the whole creation is continually subject to death. It's continually subject to change. There's nothing here that's not. But your experience is that I am subject to death. The table's not telling us I'm going to die. The poor chair, it's not telling I'm falling apart and she's not doing anything about it. It's not saying anything. Okay. So, why do you say something? Because you're a conscious being. Right? From your own standpoint, you're a conscious being. But the one who's talking, right? The one who's talking is Mithya. The one who's talking is Mithya. The conscious being is Brahman, but the one who's talking is Mithya. How come you get to talk? How come you get to see or to think? Because the subtle body reflects consciousness. You know, it enjoys consciousness. And so therefore, you, the one, the mind and the sense organs, say, I am the conscious being. I am the conscious being. And I, the one who am the conscious being, am subject to death. That's how you become a samsari. Otherwise, you're Brahman. You're not a samsari. The samsari is a product of ignorance born. So, let's go to the next verse. He explains all this.
Did we do three? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did three before. And I went back and picked it up. Brahma-dishtana-bhutatma. Brahma-dishtana-bhutatma. Bhutastasanga-chidvapuhu. Bhutastasanga-chidvapuhu. Anyonyadhyasato-sanga. Anyonyadhyasato-sanga. Dista-jiva-tra-purushaha. Dista-jiva-tra-purushaha. I had to break a compound there. It's for chanting purposes. Brahma, adhisthana, bhuta, atma, kutasta, asanga, chit, vapuhu. Anyonya adhyasataha asanga di sta jivaha atra purushaha. And finally, he's going to define the word purusha, which was used in the first verse that this whole 300-something verses are commenting on. So let's look at it. I'll pick up that verse in a minute. Brahma means the error or the mistake. The word Brahma. Delusion, error, mistake. So I'll tell you exactly what the Brahma is here. Brahma adhisthana bhuta atma. The atma, which adhisthana bhuta, which is the adhisthana, the truth, the reality of the error. Like the rope is the adhisthana of the snake. The atma, the self, is the adhisthana of the air, of the Brahma. We'll see what that is in a minute. That atma, which is kutasta asanga chidvapuhu, whose swarupa, vapu is body form, it's vapu, it's swarupa, is chit, consciousness, which is asanga, which is untouched, untainted by anything, unconnected. Asanga literally means unconnected. Kutasta, immutable, immobile. Kutasta is that which... Kutasta has different meanings. One is it's absolutely immutable, immobile. Can't be moved in any way. It also means that which is existing within an illusion, within an air, is kutasta. So here we're just using it really as immutable, immobile. Sometimes it's... Swamiji's used the example for kutasta as a, you know, an anvil. An anvil, if you're beating some iron on an anvil, no matter how hard you beat the iron and shape the iron, the anvil never moves at all. He's used that example. But if you just think, probably better for kutasta now, is to think of it as kutasta as that which is the very being within the air, the very truth of it, the very immutable substance that's there, which is asanga, can't be touched in any way, and is pure consciousness. So the Atma, which is this pure conscious being, which is changeless, which is actually the Adhishtana, the very substrate being of the air. That's the Atma. Then he says, what about it? Anyonya adhyasataha. Because of a mutual superimposition, anyonya means mutual, adhyasa means superimposition. Adhyasataha puts it in fifth case. So anyonya adhyasataha, because of mutual superimposition, the jiva, the jiva, which is a, there is a jiva, we'll say like this. Here, the jiva, which is jivaha, which is staha, abiding in the buddhi. That jiva, which is abiding in the buddhi, the dihi, abiding in the mind, which is asangaha. Okay. This is an interesting. Asanga dihi distaha jivaha. It says, what it's saying is this, this Atma, the Atma which is limitless in pure consciousness, which is yourself, this Atma is the jiva who is abiding in the buddhi, who is abiding in the mind, in the intellect, which is asanga, in reality not attached to it at all. So yourself is there present, in your mind, it's abiding there, present in your mind, is the very adhishtana. It's the very adhishtana of the mind. Like the rope is the adhishtana of the snake. It's the very substrate, it's the very truth of the mind. It's abiding there, in the mind, asangaha, unattached. See what I mean? Your awareness, the awareful being that you are, is the very substratum, the very being of the mind. It is abiding there as the self of the mind, but it itself is totally asanga. It's totally unattached. There is no real relationship between the self and the mind, as though there's a mind that's attached to it. It's not attached at all. So it says now, this jiva, this Atma, becomes a jiva, abiding in the mind, itself being totally unattached. How? How can that happen? Anyonya adhyasa, from mutual superimposition. Mutual, as we'll see later on the next verses, mutual superimposition requires ajnanam, ignorance. Right? Something has to be superimposed. If you superimpose something on something else, right, it means it doesn't belong on that thing. When you mutual superimposition, one thing is superimposed on the other, and the other is superimposed on that. That's anyonya adhyasa. So, if you have, for instance, if you have a red-hot iron ball, that's a sub, and you think, oh, look at that object. Look at that object there. It's red and hot, and it's round and heavy, that round, heavy, red-hot object. It's a red-hot iron ball. You see it as one thing. That's ajnanam. Ajnanam allows for that mutual superimposition. Right? Because actually iron, of its own accord, can be, maybe the iron ball is round and heavy iron, but it doesn't have the dharma, the quality of being red and hot. It doesn't have the qualities of fire. But if I put fire on, and iron together, then if one of them were conscious, say the iron was conscious, then it could say, You know, I'm round and heavy and hot and bright. That's who I am. You know? And then could say, you know, this is what we have here. As a jiva, I can say, you know, I am this physical body. I'm a physical body. I've had this physical body with a mind and sense organs. That's me. I'm a conscious being. This here, this body, mind, sense organs, is a conscious being, right? And this conscious being is subject to death. So this body, mind, sense organs gets the dharma, the quality of being conscious and existence. It's a conscious, existent being. That's half of the mutual superimposition. The other half is that the conscious being now takes on all of the qualities of the body. Consciousness, the conscious being, me that I am, is subject to death. It's subject to growing old. It's subject to gaining weight. It's subject to all. It's subject to being happy. It's subject to being sad, to being agitated. It's subject to having dimming sense organs. Right? Consciousness then is given all of these attributes of the body and mind. And the body and mind are given all the attributes of the conscious existence, the nature of conscious existence. So now there's that there's this anyonya adyasa, mutual superimposition. How can that occur? How is it possible? It can't occur. It can't. Consciousness can't be what it's illumining, actually. It's not possible. But that which is illumined, this mind that has consciousness totally manifest in it, on the other hand, why shouldn't it say, I am the conscious being? Whatever other experiences it have. As long as this body is here, it enjoys conscious being. Why shouldn't it take itself to be limited? Because there's a beginningless ajnanam there. It has never known. The mind has never had it pointed out to it. You know, that the consciousness and the changing thoughts need some viveka, some differentiation. It's never known that. Because it's never known that, the Atma, the me, the Atma, which is Brahman, which is the very adhishtana of this air, it's the very self of this air, that one becomes the jiva. It becomes a jiva because of this anyonya adyasa. It becomes a jiva without ever having become a jiva. You are not a jiva. You're a Brahman. When you say me, I, you're only referring to Brahman, to yourself, to the Atma. But then because of this anyonya adyasa, all of these things have been added on. So that's the problem. So now he says, this jiva, who's been fabricated by this anyonya adyasa, is who we mean by the purusha. That's who the purusha is. And going back, just to remember this first verse. Atmanam chet vijaniyat ayamasmi iti purushaha. Says, the person, the purusha, that person, who now we've defined as this jiva, if this jiva knows the Atma as I am this, Satchitananda Atma, then kim ichchan kasya kamaya shariram anusajvare. Desiring what or for whose sake will that jiva take on the pains of this body? Why would the jiva do it? No, once knowing I am the Atma. In other words, he wouldn't. So, it's this purusha who we're talking about that is in the process now of gaining knowledge. That knowledge once gained, why would that jiva take on the concerns of the body? It's not possible because you discover yourself, your being is as limitless and changeless. You can't make that identification again. Okay, I'll stop there. Om Purnamidah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.